We have Christ in us, and so many believers go through their Christian lives ignoring this glorious truth. We can call upon His name anytime, and rightfully so. We can thank Him for what He's done. We need to recognize who He is and what He's done.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Well, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone message from Rosalind in Michigan. She says, I appreciate the work you're doing there at ETS so much. Know that you are in my prayers. Well, Rosalind, know that you're in our prayers also. And so thank you so much for your encouraging words.
And Greg, today we conclude our look at the message of true ministry, and we'll get a glimpse of a glorious, life-changing truth.
Yes, we will, Dave. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 25 to 27.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. To learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt, our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
In some fashion, their main focus is not proclaiming the Word of God. They need to proclaim the Word. There are other things that go with that, no doubt about that, and that's wonderful, but the main focus within that needs to be the proclamation of the Word of God. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. And the Apostle Paul said that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. And he shares in Acts 20 that he was faithful to that. Acts 20:26, in his last words to the Ephesian elders, he says, "Of innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." And then he committed these believers to God and the word of his grace. That's all you need. You need God and the word of his grace. We think we need so much else. We need God and the word of his grace. So then, there's no shortcut, there's no program, there's no book. God uses his spirit-empowered word to conform us to the image of Christ, as we will see next time. And the word is totally sufficient because it reveals a totally sufficient God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will see is in us. Wow. Let's take a look at that. Notice Paul begins to reveal the glorious content of the message. End of verse 25. He says here that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden, he says here, from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. Paul further delineates that the word of God is here. He says, that is the mystery. The mystery. Now, some of you like mysteries, right? You watch mystery shows or whatever it might be. I like mysteries. But here, this word is a little different. It doesn't speak of some mystical secret or some puzzle to be figured out. The term mystery simply means something that was not known. And here, it was knowledge withheld. Something that God had not revealed. He had not revealed something. It was withheld knowledge. We know the New Testament speaks of many mysteries, of things that have not been revealed previously, but now have been revealed or are going to be revealed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, we have the mystery of lawlessness. In 1 Corinthians 15, we saw this. We have the mystery of the rapture. We call it that. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, right? We have in Revelation 17, 5 and 7, the mystery of Babylon, the woman, the harlot. We have in Revelation 11, 25, the mystery of Israel's unbelief and future salvation. We have in Ephesians 1, 9, the mystery of his will. We have in Ephesians 3, as we will see, the mystery of the church in Christ, which relates to our passage. And also later on in Colossians, we have God's mystery, which is Christ, chapter 2, that relates to what we'll see today. And in chapter 4, verse 3, we have the mystery of Christ that he was proclaiming. which relates to our passage also. So in all these mysteries, it speaks of knowledge withheld, thus undiscoverable by human means, and then God reveals it. So our text says that is the fully preaching of the Word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. Term ages, plural, speaks of successive periods of time. Generations speak of successive generations of people. And so then, all this to say, there is a great truth, this great truth, that has been hidden and concealed up to this point. And guess what? Throughout from all peoples and all times. But guess what? It has now been manifest to us. Amazing. We need to get this. The end of verse 26, but has now been manifested to his saints. We saw this word saints throughout this book. It speaks of believers in Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in him and received his righteousness. We are holy because of Jesus. We are saints. And it has been manifested to his saints. They're his saints, Jesus' saints. Don't confuse this word like the Catholics do. A saint is a believer. One who placed his faith in Christ receives forgiveness of sins and righteousness from God. We are saints because we possess the very righteousness of Christ. And by the way, God reveals his truth only to his people. Psalm 24:4, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He reveals these things to us, his saints. We know the world cannot understand it. It's foolishness to them. So then we have this great revealed truth. Now notice it gets explained in our passage. He says, but end of verse 27, but now has been manifest to his saints, this mystery that was hidden, right? To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. This is really important. The Old Testament saints knew that the Messiah would come and bear their iniquities, Isaiah 53. But they never knew that God would actually take up residence in his people, including Gentiles. Christ in you. This had been hidden. They had relationship with the Lord, but this was hidden. The Old Testament saints knew that some Gentiles would be saved, but they never understood that God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is this truth? His glorious riches in us. God willed to make known what? Notice our passage. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you? Here we have this statement, the riches of the glory of this mystery. The word plutos, and that's not speaking of the planet. It's in Greek, speaks of riches or wealth or abundance. It speaks of extreme value. Extreme value. He says the riches of the glory or the extreme glorious value. So you think of something very valuable, extreme glorious value. The glorious riches of this truth, the mystery. It's extreme glorious value of this truth. Christ in you. Christ in you. Wow. In context with chapter 2, we're going to see we're not to let the false teachers kidnap us with the world's wisdom and ways, repackaging it religiously. But we need to recognize we got Christ in us. We got Christ as the very God who created everything and brought us forth is in us and willing to live through us if you're willing to let him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We see a parallel portion here. Paul speaks of this. Parallel portion. Ephesians 3:8. To me, the very least of all saints. Now, he says that because he persecuted the church. He said he's the greatest of sinners. You think the greatest of sin is transgender or homosexual? That's sin. The greatest of sin is persecuting the church. Right? He says he's the greatest sinner. He says, to the least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. That comes from the Word of God. We find the unfathomable riches of Christ in God's Word. It's about him. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. There's a lot more going on than you think. What a truth. The living God, the God of the universe, who created all things for himself, the one in whom was before all things, the one who holds it all together, the supreme Lord of the universe, the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, God in human flesh, the one who reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, the one and only God dwelling in us. Wow. What a glorious truth. Christ in you. How did this happen? When we heard the gospel, repenting of our sin, placing our faith in the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, trusting in his finished work alone, we were saved. And then God came to take up eternal residence in us by sending his Spirit. Paul puts it this way. In him, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you got to listen to the message first. You got to believe. He says, you were sealed with him in the Holy Spirit. You got the Spirit after you believed, by the way. You believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. The inheritance is our glorious, we'll see in Romans chapter 8, being glorified, the redemption of our bodies. He talks about that. He says it even here, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory, and all that goes with that in eternity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul reminds the Corinthians that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God is in us. He's dwelling in us. That's how we grieve the Spirit when we don't act the way we should act. We don't think the way we should think. God is dwelling in us. Paul would go so far in Corinthians to say, you know, when you're joining yourself with the harlot, you're joining Christ. It's not good. He's in you. You can read that in 1 Corinthians. Paul reveals also, if you don't have the Spirit indwelling you, you are not saved. Turn to Romans chapter 8. This is an amazing thought. We got to remember this. We need to remember this. We need to think about it. We act like we're so poor spiritually. Oh, and we have the riches of God himself in us. We got to remember that. It's almost like we're wallowing around and God's knocking through the word. Hey, right here, ready to help. But he's compassionate. He knows we all struggle. We know it's a fight of faith. We know that. Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who indwells you. Tremendous! We have Christ in us, and so many believers go through their Christian lives ignoring this glorious truth. We can call upon his name anytime, and rightfully so. We can thank him for what he's done. We need to recognize who he is and what he's done. Sadly, we're so guilty at times of ignoring this, right? We wallow, whatever it might be. And yet one of the most glorious truths in the New Testament has been revealed. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. One pastor writes, this is the great mystery, the greatest truth taught in the Bible, and yet the most seriously missing element in many churches today. Most Christian in our churches understand and believe that Christ died for their sins, but most fail to go beyond that basic truth. Relatively few go on to grasp the fact that Jesus died for them, that he might live in them and through them. Many sadly fall short of grasping that it is Christ's life in them that provides the power to live the Christian life. Totally agree. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He lives in me. So will you let him live his life through you? Will you let him do so? Will you trust him that he can take care of everything, that he's big enough to do so? Will you trust him? Now notice, we have the first most obvious and direct application to this incredible truth. Christ in us, he's our living hope of glory. That means the job is going to get done. Everything we struggle with is going to get taken care of. It's all going to get taken care of. We struggle with this flesh. We struggle with temptations. We struggle. It's going to get taken care of. He's going to assure that because he's in us. He's the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, with this in mind, it behooves us to understand this idea of hope. Obviously, biblical hope is not like men's hope. Men just hope, I hope I'll make the bus, I hope I'll get that. There's hope is just based on their desires. But biblical hope is based on Christ and what he has promised. It's a sure hope. It's part of our faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Biblical hope is based on the sure promises of God as revealed by his Spirit in the Word. And so our text assures us that because Christ is living in us, we are assured of future glory. There's no better assurance to the culmination of our salvation than God living in us himself. And God makes that clear, actually, through his scriptures. We see in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were sealed in him when we believed, with the Holy Spirit of promise who's given as a pledge of our inheritance, the redemption of our body, with a view of that. God gave us himself to say he's going to finish the deal. 2 Corinthians 5, we know that he gave us his Spirit as a pledge. It's his done deal. It's a done deal. It's a guarantee. We know in Romans chapter 8 that having the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan eagerly waiting for the adoption of his sons, the redemption of our bodies. The living Christ in us assures future glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got to keep that on your mind. When we get bogged down in this world and our unglorified state, we're passing through. It's coming. And God is working on us even right now. And he's willing to live his life through us if we're willing to submit. So many hopeless Christians, defeated, depressed. So many hoping in the wrong thing, shattered hopes. If Christ is for this life only, hoped in him for this life, we're of all men to be pitied. It's not just for this life. We've got to see the next one also. Christ assures us of future glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we will be holy and blameless, redeemed bodies, no sin, no more sorrow, no more tears. Let's look at a couple passages and we'll finish up. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. I don't have time to read it, but in contrast to those who set their mind on earthly things, revealing that they're on their way to destruction, they really weren't believers. That's what they set their mind on all the time. He says in verse 17 of chapter 3 of Philippians, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Wait a second, Savior, he already saved us. Well, he's still the Savior. He knows what he's going to do. Verse 21, "Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory." These messed up bodies of sin that are dying, decaying, that are perishing, will be made imperishable. They will be made immortal. They will be made like Christ's glorified body, like him in his glory. Can you believe that? I do. By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things unto himself. We eagerly await for him to do that. He's going to do that. 1 John chapter 3, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we shall be." We're not what we are going to be. It hasn't appeared yet. But he says here, "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he appears." It's a motivation to actually walk in a godly manner, to know what he's going to make us into, what he's going to do when he glorifies us. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, and this is in the relationship to being on the alert, your adversary the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in the faith. And then he goes on, he says, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ." Oh boy, he called us, man, we are on our way to eternal glory. Wow. Wow, we got to get our heads out of this world, right? We really do. "Will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." Paul, in the struggle that he was in, says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And then he goes to share the discourse in chapter 8 of Romans. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And later on, the Spirit bears witness in our spirit that we're children of God. Romans 8:17, "And heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him." He says, "For I consider the present sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And we're we part of that, because he says later on, the whole creation groans awaiting the revelation, he says here, of the sons of God. He says, "For creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation also might be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." I can't get that. I don't really understand that totally. I just know it's great. It's glorious. Christ is going to change us. Our bodies are going to be transformed literally into conformity with his glorified body, his glorious body. We will be set free forever from sin and death. Forever. And Christ in us assures that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is our destiny. It's not destruction, but glory. It ought to motivate us to press towards that goal. It ought to motivate us to be obedient, to be imitators of those who are such, like Paul, and walk like them. To trust Christ in every circumstance, to press towards that goal. Remember, we saw in the beginning of this book, that we have hope laid up for us in heaven, right? Revealed in the gospel. Are you depressed, hopeless? Your problem is you lost sight of Christ. Get in the Word of God, confess your sin, get to know Christ, recognize he is in you, and then you'll have a true hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercies, caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The scriptures are about Christ. They all point to him. To finish up, when the Pharisees were talking about eternal life, and Jesus said, "Hey, you search the scriptures. Do you think in them you have eternal life? But it is these that bear witness of me, Christ." Let me ask you, do you have hope? If you're not saved, you are without hope and without God in the world. Turn to Jesus. He'll save you, and you'll have a true hope, the hope of glory, because he's in you. He's going to bring it about. Maybe some of you have allowed this life and your sin, whatever it might be, to obstruct your hope. If you hope for Christ in this life only, we're of those to be pitied. Confess, get your eyes back on Jesus. Christ assures us of our eternal glory. Christ in us, the hope of sure glory. So then, what does authentic ministry look like? It is God's men ministering, and it preaches God's message from his word concerning Christ and Christ. Our destiny is glory, not destruction. So let's press on towards that goal. Are you willing to allow Christ, who is in you, to control you? Do you want him to possess you in a sense, in a righteous, right way, where he leads you to what is right, to control you? We need to go to him and, "Lord, help me yield over to you in these circumstances. Live through me, Lord God, and how I should act and react in these situations. Help me to see you rightly. Help me to trust you. Help me to submit to you. You'd have your way in us." Within the context of what we'll see in chapter 2, we're not to let false teachers kidnap us with the world's wisdom. We have Christ in us. That's all we need.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, it seems so simple. The message of true ministry is Christ proclaimed from his word.
Indeed, Dave, but as we've seen, this life-changing truth is only life-changing if we're willing to accept it and dwell on it. It's the truth concerning Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, brothers and sisters, this is our destiny. It's not destruction, but glory. And folks, this ought to motivate us to continue to press on towards the goal. It ought to motivate us to be obedient and to be imitators of the Apostle Paul and those who walk like him, those who trusted Christ in every circumstance, believed what he said from the Word, and pressed forward towards that goal. Well, what an amazing truth. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.